3 p.m. right here at KZSU Stanford, 90.1 FM. It's time for Aerobology. I'm your DJ Ramsey, and I'll be taking you on a virtual flying carpet ride across the Arab world, a virtual journey through music and through interviews. So if you'll stay with me for the next 2 hours for a really fun-filled edition of Aerobology. 3:15 right here at KZSU Stanford 94.1 FM, and I've kept you in suspense long enough. My guest, Hala Fauzi, is in the studio. Hala is a dance teacher, an entrepreneur. She's originally from Egypt, and she's been performing and teaching her native art of Egyptian dance all over the world since 1997. Hala co-owns and runs Halanda Studios in San Jose, hosts international dance stars in California, and even has a weekly world radio music show. We'll be speaking to her for the first part of this episode of Arabology, which is dedicated to the art of Egyptian dance. Hala, ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to KZSU.
Thank you.
Hala, this is your first time here at Stanford or KZSU?
It's my first time at KZSU, but I have a long history with Stanford. I actually used to teach dance here. I taught Egyptian dance, Middle Eastern dance, through the International Center as well as the dance department.
That's amazing. When was that, Hala?
Through the International Center for many, many years. I'm thinking in the early 2000s, and then at the dance department in 2007, I'm thinking.
Yeah, well,
it has been a while, yeah.
Wow.
Before I opened the Halanda Studio.
Was it before?
Yeah, mostly before. Once I opened the Halanda Studio, I got busy with that.
Because I think I met you, Hala, during that time.
That's
for
true.
The first time.
That's right. We used to perform a lot. My troupe and I at all the Stanford international events and world culture events and Arabic events.
Yes, including with our department's events. I remember you would come with these amazing dancers. You'd have these colorful costumes, and the audience would just look at you and go, wow, where did you bring these amazing people?
Yeah, we typically performed a very folkloric style. When we do cultural events, we typically perform dances from the villages, from the ethnic regions of Egypt.
And is this something you're still doing now, sort of independently taking your troupe and dancing, or is this always sort of a studio?
No, absolutely. We still perform. I still have my dance company. We rehearse at Halanda Studio, and we're always looking for new members who are interested in presenting, you know, authentic Egyptian and Arabic arts. And we perform at lots of international and cultural events as well as dance events all over the Bay Area.
Great. So when we keep saying Halanda Studios, I mean, the first part of Halanda is Hala.
That's right. Right, yeah. And the reason it's called Halanda is because we are two people, myself, Hala, and my partner in the studio is Amanda. So we decided to go with Halanda to kind of fuse both of our names.
What a perfect combination. And I believe you're even on the web at Hala Dance on
well,
the web, right?
The studio has its own webpage, which is halanda.com.
Okay.
And then Hala Dance is my own dance company. Because in addition to running the studio, I also have my own dance company where I train my troupe. I host dance stars from all over the world, especially Egypt, and I also post my dance events.
Wow, wow. Well, I know
including
that you,
my radio show.
Yes, absolutely, which actually airs when?
My radio show airs every single Monday from 3 to 6 p.m., in addition to the first Saturday of every month from 6 to 9 p.m. on KQUP Cupertino 91.5 FM.
91.5, right. Well, we're delighted to have you here at KZSU, Stanford 90.1 FM, and delighted that you brought some music with us. Hala, before I delve into your life and what led you to the decisions you made to make Egyptian dance so central in your life, can I ask you to quickly tell me whose music you brought and that I started the show with? It was this amazing melody by, I believe, Ilyas Lamam.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very happy to introduce Ilyas. Ilyas Lamam is an Arabic music master. He plays the accordion. He teaches. He's a multi-instrumentalist. He plays lots of instruments, and he also teaches accordion and drums and singing, as well as Arabic music ensemble in Santa Cruz. And I have the great pleasure and honor to be part of his Santa Cruz Arabic music ensemble. We basically, any musician who wants to play Arabic music, they bring their instrument. And Ilyas integrates their instrument into the ensemble. And we all play very beautiful classical pieces like Fairuz's pieces, Umm Kulthum pieces, Abdul Halim, beautiful music. And you can actually hear us perform at the Sunnyvale Hands-on Arts on May 18th.
Wow, wow. So Ilyas Lamam will be there, and so will Hala Fauzi.
Absolutely, yeah. Ilyas is going to be teaching children, because that event is specifically for children. He's going to be teaching children all day, and then his ensemble, in which I I'm part of. We're going to be playing at 12:30 at the Hands on Art in Sunnyvale Community Center.
Wow. And the song that we heard from Yaslam Mam, I should say, is called Raqsat Farah.
Yeah, Raqsat Farah. He's an excellent composer as well, as you have heard. He's an excellent composer. He often plays either solo or with his brothers, George and Tony Lamam as well. The Lamam brothers, they play all over the Bay Area, and they're international Arabic music stars.
Wow. So there's three of them, three brothers.
Yes, and they're all musicians.
Wow, how nice. How nice. Yeah. Reminds me a little bit of the Joubran trio, who
exactly,
are our favorites.
And they're also Lebanese.
These are the Lamam trios, right?
That's right.
Amazing. And Raqs al-Farah, of course, means a joyful dance or dance of joy. And what a joyful way to have started today's episode of Arabology. So I'm going to take a little break with Hala here, and because she's brought some amazing music as well. We're going to go to Dalida, ladies and gentlemen, and a very, very danceable old favorite of mine, and I believe Hala's as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so Hala will be introducing that song in a second, but I also wanted to remind everybody to stay tuned, because right after the song, we're going to be talking to Hala about how she mapped out this journey for herself. And ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss this, because apparently Hala didn't start out as a career that centered on dance in any way. We'll be finding about that right after the song. But you brought Dalida.
Yes.
And how do you introduce Dalida to the West?
Oh my gosh, Dalida is an amazing voice. She passed away, unfortunately. Dalida is a French singer who was born and grew up in Egypt, but then moved to France for most of her adult life. And then towards the end of her life, unfortunately, she moved back to Egypt and started making Arabic music. And what she did is that she rearranged and recreated some of the very beautiful classics that are that have been in the Egyptian culture Turath, how is it?
Heritage
for a long time. And the song that we're going to hear is one of those. It's called Helwa Ya Baladi.
Wow.
Which means how beautiful you are, my country. And nice. what she does is that she talks about different regions of Egypt and what signifies that region. It kind of reminds me, you know, the song California Girls, and how he talks about different girls from different regions of the U.S. and how they're special in certain ways.
Absolutely. Now, we're talking about not the new California Girls version that I hear by, who is it, Katy Perry or whatever. No,
the original one.
The original, yeah. Yes.
This particular song, Helwa Ya Baladi, has a similar theme. It's not talking about specifically girls or you know, specific gender. It's talking about the region, the different regions of Egypt, and how each one is special in its own way.
Wow.
And how all, you know, in the end, Helwa Ya Baladi, how beautiful you are, my country. And of course, in this case, her country is, she's talking about Egypt.
It's Egypt, because I believe she was born and raised there and then moved to France, I think, and to Europe. Okay, Hala Fawzi is my guest for the first part of Arabology. And here is Dalida with Helwa Ya Baladi. We'll be right after to probe more and get more answers from the amazing Hala Fawzi right here on the Arabology Show, coming to you from KCSU Stanford, 94.1 FM.
Thank you.
the amazing song of Yolanda Gigliotti, otherwise known as Dalida, who is one of these amazing singers whose songs transport you back to a different place and time. My guest is Hala Fawzi on today's episode of Arabology. And Hala, you brought Dalida with you and you brought tears to my eyes here. Did you kind of grow up listening to Dalida's music?
Of course, of course. She always brings back beautiful memories, of course.
And so that leads to my next question, Hala. I mean, you were born and raised in Egypt, or?
Yeah, I grew up in Egypt. I went to undergraduate school in Alexandria University, and then I moved to the United States to do my graduate studies.
And when you moved here, did you know you were going to be doing this for, you know, meaning starting your own dance studio, teaching the art of Egyptian dance to America? Was this always in the map for you, or on the map for you?
Well, to be honest, not only did I not know, but it was as far from my path at that time as can be. As a matter of fact, I used to, when people in Egypt, when I go back for visits after being, I used to be a computer engineer. I came here to study computer science. And I worked as a computer engineer for many, many, many years here in Silicon Valley. And when I used to go back to Egypt and visit my friends and professors, and they say, so what are you working now? And kind of jokingly, completely, you know, to be shocking and playful, I would say, oh, I'm working as a dancer now. Ha, 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 ha. So it was kind of a joke, actually. Right, right. And nobody, including myself, ever thought it was going to become a reality at that time.
Yeah, but that's amazing because, I mean, what a reality it became. You actually are doing this full time now. This
Yes. I've been doing it full time since 2000 or 2001.
Wow. Yeah. So, Hala, I mean, was this something you always sort of were interested in, but you just thought, you know, it might not be practical at first? Or was this something that you discovered sort of late in life or after?
Actually, both, in a sense, because when you grew up in Egypt, we always dance. I mean, we dance socially at weddings and parties and birthdays. And at the end of the school year, you know, when I go out with my friends, we put some music and dance. So I've always danced socially and I've always liked to dance and I've always liked to move. I mean, as a matter of fact, I have a black belt in Shotokan Karate here from Stanford because I always need that, you know, kind of rigorous movement in my life. But what happened is that, you know, I was a computer engineer and I was very happy in my career but after doing it for so many years, I actually have been a computer engineer for at least 15 years or so.
Wow.
If you add the schooling, it becomes almost 20 years doing computer work. And after being, you know, a computer engineer for so long, I just got to a point where it was very dry and isolating, and I craved, my soul craved something different.
Right.
But at that time, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I just wanted to leave the computer career, but I had no idea where to go. And at that time, at that point in time, that's all I knew. I had done nothing else but computer engineering. So wow. I was kind of trapped in a sense. I used to call it the golden cage because, to be very honest, I had a very fancy life on paper. I was working in San Francisco, biking to work, flexible hours, wear anything you want. You know, you can go anytime you want. And of course, I was making very good money at the time. And so it was a fancy kind of desirable life, if you may. However, inside me, it was very unsatisfying because it was not expressing who I truly am or what I really want to do or what I love to do.
Yeah, so you felt something was missing at that point from your life.
Yeah.
And you went out looking for it.
Yes, it was a long journey, a very arduous journey because I had I learned best by trial and error. So I just had to keep trying different things and see what sticks.
Yeah. So what did you try, Hala, before you decided that Egyptian Egyptian dance would be it?
Well, what happened? It was 1994, I believe. I decided that I had to leave. You know, I had to take a break. So I took a tour or a trip around the world. I went traveling for 6 months. I went to all over the world to Egypt, but I also went to Kenya, Tanzania, Jordan, India, the UK. And I went backpacking basically around the world for 6 months. And that trip was an amazing, amazing self-discovery. And it kind of put the first crack in that thick shell that I had surrounded my heart with. And I realized that there's so much life and so much beauty and so much you know, passion and energy outside of my little box that I had lived in up until that time. And so that trip made me 100% sure that I have to leave my computer career if I wanted to survive, because every time I thought about being, you know, in that career for the rest of my life, I would get very depressed. So yeah. So that trip was the first crack, if you may. And then when I returned from that trip, and to be honest, the only reason I returned after 6 months is that I was on a green card at that time. So if I stayed outside the U.S. more than 6 months, I would have to reapply. So I made sure to come back before my green card expired.
Sure.
Otherwise, I would have stayed longer. So I came back, and a friend of mine was doing the Landmark Forum. So when I came back, and I was very still frustrated with my, because I had to still face, you know, my life as a computer engineer, and I end up taking a job as a computer engineer as well. But she suggested to take that course, and at that time I was open to anything. I was like, you know, if somebody told me to, like, you know, try, you know, bird's milk, I would have tried it because I was desperate for a change. My soul was yearning to do something different.
And so what course was that she
It's called the Landmark Forum. It's put on by the an organization called Landmark Education, and they offer kind of self-discovery, growth and development careers, growth and development courses all over the world. And luckily enough, there was one here in San Jose, so very close to home. So I took the course in San Jose, and I kept taking courses with them. They offer courses all over the world, as I mentioned, and you always have to start with the Landmark Forum, and then after that, take other courses. And it's basically a way to discover what really, who you really are on, you know, at the core.
Right.
After
right.
you peel off all the programming and all the social programming and all the cultural programming, and find out who you really are at the core, and that really helped.
So at the risk of sounding corny, but you got in touch with the dancer within.
Absolutely,
the choreographer within.
It does sound very corny, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it was not an immediate process, because growing up in Egypt in an upper middle class community, being a dancer was akin to an insult. You don't say I'm a dancer. It's a very bad word in Arabic.
Ra'asa,
exactly.
And what that word implies, which is, of course, a very sad thing.
Very, very sad, yes.
But please go on.
So I had actually, the best way to describe it, I had to rearrange my DNA. I had to program my brain to really accept who I am and what I love to do, and realize and accept that there is nothing shameful or bad about it. It's a beautiful art. It's a beautiful way to express oneself, and there is nothing more spiritual than dancing and feeling one with the music.
Yeah. I mean, is that how you would answer some people who, you know, maybe don't understand the art of what can be called Oriental dancing, Raqs Sharqi, or Egyptian dance? Because it seems like in the U.S. we associate belly dancing, what they quote-unquote belly dancing, with, you know, maybe strippers, or is this kind of, you know, a dance done for men's satisfaction or fascination, instead of looking at it for the art that it is, and in so doing, I would think, look at it as a female-centered art form, not one that is done to please the gaze of the male, necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, how much time do you have? I mean, I can write books about that subject, but in a nutshell, yes. The very unfortunate thing is that let's even step back. Any professional art that is women-centered is always looked down upon in a patriarchal society. And unfortunately, we have been living in a patriarchal culture for many, many years. I mean, thousands of years, at least the past 5,000 years. And that's all over the world, not just in the U.S. We have been living under patriarchal norms, if you may, for such a long time that anything that has to do, associate with women or expresses or acknowledges women power, has been put down and looked down upon. I mean, even being a housewife is not considered respectable, even though it's what gets the world going. The engine of the world.
And you're applying this to East and West. You're not just applying this to Egypt, for
example. Because those stereotypes that you talked about belly dancing being like strippers, or in Egypt they're thought of as prostitutes, it's all over the world, unfortunately.
So, I mean, would you agree that there's two kinds of Egyptian dance? The one that's done, that we see in maybe Egyptian films, or the ones you see when you're a tourist in Egypt. And these are, you know, women who kind of are exoticized and want to live up to the, or, you know, sort of quote-unquote oriental fantasy. And then there are the real Egyptian dancers who have made a career of that, who understand the art, the movement. Mm-hmm. Is it easier to differentiate between the two in the U.S. or in Egypt?
Well, the thing is, dance is a language, and like any language, you can use it to write poetry and you can use it to insult somebody. And what happens is that, you know, when you learn a new language, like typically, I mean, let's say you travel to a new country. For laughs or whatever, some people, you know, the first words they learn are the, you know, the curse words, you know.
Right. So, oh, I like that metaphor. It's very true, you know. You know, so the easy first exposure to quote-unquote belly dancing is the kind of belly dance you expect to see from Hollywood movies or...
The stereotyping of the Orient as a whole.
Yeah.
But having said that, you know, what we call here belly dance in the United States or the West is actually a cultural dance. It's what people do in their homes, in their local festivals, in their celebrations at home, and with their families, and with their communities, and what tourists see when they go to Egypt is a tiny little sliver of the big picture. Mm. So, but because it's the sensational sliver, it tends to overcolor and overshadow the whole spectrum.
Yeah,
and that's, to be honest, one of the main reasons I started teaching, because I realized that most people who were exposed to belly dance at the time when I started teaching, they only knew that tiny little sliver, what they see as tourists. They don't know what people do in their homes.
Right.
And so I started to teach because I want to expose the wide spectrum and richness of this dance, from village dances, from local fishermen dance. From it's a huge spectrum that encompasses, you know, like, you know, again, the analogy I'd like to use of the language, like English, for example. Mm. You know, people speak English in the United States with an American accent. They speak it in South Africa with a South African accent. Mm. In England with a British accent. In Australia with an Australian accent. Right. So dance, especially belly dance, because we're witnessing an explosion and a spread of this dance unparalleled in its history before. Mm-hmm. It's spreading. When I go to dance festivals in Cairo, And I meet dancers who are interested in this dance from all corners of the world. I mean, no exceptions whatsoever.
Yeah.
From Southeast Asia, from the Ukraine, from Scandinavian countries, from, of course, the West, from African countries. All over the world, this dance is spreading like wildfire.
Oh, yeah.
And so each one of these cultures and subcultures is going to learn and express it in their own way. Mm. You know, like, I learned English as a little kid, and now I'm speaking English with my own kind of Egyptian-American accent.
Right, right.
So, and dance is no exception. Everybody's going to express it their own way.
I love that. Dance as a language. And so are you against the term belly dance?
I am, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate term.
Because, I mean, you hear that and automatically it's going to trigger the sort of orientalist fantasies, Western,
yeah.
You know, travelers and such.
Yeah, I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with that term. On one hand, it belittles the dance, because any dance really is... Associating any dance with a body part is doing a disservice to the dance. For me, it's like calling ballet the toe dance.
Yeah. Good one. I like that.
I mean, it's very realistic. I mean, to be honest, like, you know, when my grandmother, who's never been outside of Egypt, when she saw ballet for the first time on TV, she said, "What is this toe dance?"
Ah.
And I can imagine the name belly dance came from a similar misunderstanding of the true art. You see it from the first, on the surface, to the untrained eye, and you see people moving from the midsection. It's actually, it's moving from the hips, really, not the belly. This whole belly association is a misnomer.
Right.
And dance, any dance, is all about not just the body, but it's about engaging your body, soul, and mind, and everything in expressing the music. So associating any dance with the body part is doing a disservice to the dance. So that's why I don't like the term belly dance. On the other hand, in this day and age, the term is here to stay. It's actually grown much, much bigger. It's grown beyond its ethnic origins, and now encompasses a much wider range of different arts that are bunched under this term. So, in a sense, it might have been sensational enough and easy enough for people to catch on.
Yeah,
and that might have helped the spread of the dance.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, when we come back, Hala, for the third and final part of your interview today, I wanted to talk to you about a little bit about, well, who are these people who are coming to Hala Dance? What are, not necessarily their ages, but what backgrounds? Are we talking about a certain age group or whatever? Or is this something that's sort of relegated to a very privileged few? So okay. we'll be speaking about that right after a song by, I believe, Hakim. Can you tell us a little bit about the singer and the song?
Yeah, well, the song is definitely very danceable. It's very popular among dancers all over the Arab world. It's very popular at parties, whenever you go to parties. And it's called Kol Yoros, or Everybody Dance, Everybody Dances.
Appropriate for today's show.
So I hope we inspire you to dance with this song.
And Hakim, of course, Egyptian singer, I believe.
Yes, he's a very famous pop. We call him Shabi singer. Shabi means of the people.
Ah, nice.
And he's like the number one in Egypt and all over the Arab world now in the Shaabi style of singing.
Well, let's listen to that and then come back for one final segment with Hala Fawzi, who's my guest today. Hala Fawzi, of course, dancer, teacher, entrepreneur, and also the owner of Halanda Studios in San Jose. We'll be speaking to her about her, well, quote-unquote, clientele after this musical break from Hakim. Here is the one and only.
Let's go!
Wow, that was the one and only Hakim, who comes from Egypt, a very popular singer, Shabi. A song, one of the many songs and treasures that were brought to the studio today by none other than my guest, Hala Fawzi. Hala, thank you for taking us on this amazing trip through your life.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's my pleasure.
You know, when you were talking to me about your journey, I was just, you know, I totally forgot we were on the air. I'm going with you. I mean, you started as a computer engineer, and look at you now. You're actually running your own school, dance school in San Jose, Halanda Studios.
Yeah, and Halanda Studio is basically a studio where we invite people to share their passions, cultures, and art with the community. So anybody who wants something, you know, to teach anything, they're welcome to teach at Halanda Studio.
Oh, really?
We tend to attract ethnic dancers from all over the world. So we're not the typical, you know, tap, jazz, and ballet kind of studio. We're more like, you know, belly dance, Zumba, flamenco, Persian dance. So we kind of take people on a cultural tour of the arts through dance and fitness.
Wow. And so when you do give dance classes at Halanda Studios, what kind of people tend to come and enroll? Are we talking about, you know, necessarily in a certain age group or ethnicity? Or
we have students all the way from, you know, 3 years old to, you know, 70 years old and everything
wow.
in between.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, after all, we offer dance and fitness classes, and you know, of course, people want to move and experience that kind of connection with music. So we have a huge array of classes from all over the world, dance disciplines from all over the world.
So what would be the title of your course? Is it Introduction to Egyptian Dance or something?
Well, I teach Egyptian dance at different Egyptian dance classes. Where I have an all-levels class, I have an intermediate class, and I have choreography, and I also have my dance company rehearsals.
Okay.
So people typically start in the all-levels class, which is basically open to beginners. But I don't like to call it a beginner class because putting a label on moves kind of limits people. But mm-hmm. you know, as you know, in the Middle East, what we do is we just watch and imitate and you know, kids, 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds, they do all these moves that we might call here advanced because nobody told them it's advanced. So
right.
what I do is just move and have people learn by engaging the right brain and playing. So it's an all-levels class that's open to beginners, and then they advance after that to the intermediate drills, and then do the choreography, and then the performance if they so choose. But it's worth mentioning that this week, up until May 5th, it's National Dance Week, and many studios, including Halanda Studio, are offering lots of free classes for people to engage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we have lots of free classes. I mean, it ends the May 5th, so if you want to sample some of our classes, check us out by May 5th.
So check out the Hala Dance.
Halanda.com.
Halanda.com.
Yeah, that's
Halanda.com.
Yeah.
And there you'll be able to see the free classes.
The free classes,
offered
yeah. And also the events. We have a concert coming up on May 11th. We have Ancient Future, which is an excellent world fusion band.
Oh, yes. I've heard of We've certainly heard of them here at KZSU.
They're amazing musicians. Yeah. They're going to be playing a Celtic Raga, which is a fusion of Indian dance, Indian music and Western music, beautiful music. They're going to be playing on May 11th, which is a Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m. I'm bringing also Soraya Zayed. She is an amazing. She and Dina are the top dancers in Egypt now.
Wow. I want to say her name again, Hala, because I think you said it so matter-of-factly.
Oh, sorry.
this is the one and only Soraya Zayed.
Yes.
I mean, this woman in Egypt is known for being one of the best dancers in the country.
She is. And I mean, I go to Egypt every year. I attend dance festivals there. And Soraya is the headliner of the gala shows. When the host, you know, that dance festival that I tell you about where dancers from all over the world flock to Egypt. It's kind of like, you know, the Mecca of belly dance or Egyptian dance.
Wow.
And Soraya is the headliner. She usually headlines the gala shows, the opening and the closing gala shows. And she entertains by herself only with her band for at least an hour all by herself.
Wow.
I mean, she's that good. She is an amazing, solid technically. And she has the feeling, she expresses the feeling of Egyptian dance, you know, in a very profound way. Mm. As you know, in Egypt, when people dance, it's not just about the technique, it's not about the movements, it's all about the passion and the feelings and the emotions. And it's very important, I think, for any dance lover to see that, because We don't get that caliber of dancers in the U.S. very often. She's very well known. Soraya Zaid is very well known all over the world, in all over, of course, the Middle East and also South America, because she was born in Brazil. And we don't get... She's actually coming to the United States only for the second time. So she was here only last year in New York only. So she's coming to the Western United States
First
time in California, yeah. And I'm very proud to, you know, be bringing her, because for me, she epitomizes Egyptian dance.
Wow.
In a very profound way. She's known also as the drum solo queen, because her drum solos are to die for.
Wow. So we're not talking just dancing here. She actually plays the drums, the instruments.
No, drum solo is dancing to a drum.
To a drum. I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, so she's known as a drum solo queen because she has a huge variety of interpretations of the drum solo, and she can dance to a drum solo, which is very difficult when you perform a long drum solo. But she puts life in that drum solo that I've never seen before. Wow.
And so for those people wanting to see this in in action live, this is again going on for the first time in California. Soraya Zaid is here. And what dates and places?
She's coming to Los Altos, so she's going to be performing one show only, because she's going to be here only that one weekend. So she's doing only one show on Saturday, June 1st, at in Los Altos, and the event is going to be basically a night out of, I don't want to be cliche and say out of 1001 nights, because I don't like that cliche, but it's a night out of the best dance festivals in Cairo, because we're going to have a catered dinner. It's going to be catered by Rose Market, which is delicious Mediterranean food. We're going to have lots of options for vegetarians and non-vegetarians. And so we're going to be basically recreating that ambiance, that atmosphere of being in the best dance festivals in Egypt. We're going to have a dance show, of course, headlined by Soraya. We're going to have DJ music. People are going to get up and dance also. So it's basically a full, you know, evening out of the best dance festivals in Egypt. And we don't get that here very often.
Yeah, going on in Los Altos.
In Los Altos,
on
yes.
June 1st. Yes. And where in Los Altos?
It's going to be in a place called Mirage Hall, which is right behind Pineapple Grill. Okay. So it's a banquet hall behind Pineapple Grill on right. El Camino Real.
And you have information about this on your website, I believe.
Yeah, information about Soraya Zaid's event is on haladance.com.
And what about Hala Fawzi herself and her troupe? Where is she going to be as well, for people who want to catch a glimpse of you in action?
Well, we perform typically two or three times a month, and our we have, you can see all the events on our website, haladance.com, also under events. One of the events that I'm very proud to be part of this year is the Festival of the Silk Road. Mm. It's put on by Afsane Art and Culture Society. And it's basically a dance, music, and poetry journey through the countries of the Silk Road.
Wow.
So we're going to, you know, you get to see dances from Iran, from China, from Egypt, from Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Turkey. So it's really a journey through dance. And that's taking place at the Mexican Heritage Plaza in San Jose on May 18th, which is also a Saturday.
And so you'll be performing and sort of representing Egyptian dance.
We're going to be doing two Egyptian dance pieces at that festival. We're going to do... a village piece and also an urban Cairo piece.
Wow. Hala Fawzi, I don't know how you do it, but you somehow keep doing it. I'm so, so happy to have had you in the studio today.
It's my pleasure.
It really has been a pleasure for me as well. And Hala, I know you have to run, but you promised us one more Dalida song before
yes,
you went.
Well, I can't have enough of Dalida.
Yeah, so which one is that now?
So this one, Salma Salama, it's a tune that's been, again, in the Arabic Egyptian culture and heritage for a long time. It's originally by Said Darwish. And this particular version is a redistribution, recreation of that tune by Dalida, who adds a huge, like a different dimension to the song.
Yeah.
She makes it more, of course, pop and danceable, and we all love this version. Yeah. I mean, Said Darwish created the original version, I would say, I think in the 1930s or even...
Probably something like that.
But this version is probably from, I'm thinking, the 70s or the 80s.
I think so. I think 1978, to be exact. And that's
perfect,
when Dalida sort of went back to her Egyptian roots.
Exactly.
And released the first song we heard earlier today was Halwa Ya Baladi. And the one we're ending today's segment with Hala with is called Salma Ya Salama. I really wish people could see us, Hala, because they could have seen you interpreting through dance the Salma Ya Salama. So they're going to have to either check you out in person or take our word. word for it here.
Yeah, please join us. I mean, all the events are on haladance.com. That's H-A-L-A dance.com.
Absolutely. And what a great way to leave, to say, well, au revoir, not goodbye to Hala. I hope we'll see you again at some of these festivals at Hala Dance Studios or again at KZSU. You're always welcome here, Hala. It's been
Thank
a pleasure.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure. Thank you very much, Ramzi.
And here's the leader. Now, everybody out there, and you need to be clapping along to Salma Ya Salama right here on KZSU Stanford, 90.1 FM. This is DJ Ramzi. My guest has been Hala Fawzi, and I'll be with you until 5 p.m., so don't go away. Second part of Arabology with yours truly, DJ Ramzi, is beginning. This is a tribute to the Arabic-speaking world at a time of turmoil, revolutions, but also at a time of hope and great creativity. So let's begin the second part of Arabology today with none other than Michel Sajrawi and the amazing vocals of Samin Mahoul taking us into an enchanted land. Oh.
هلا الأهل الشام بيروت عمان سلام لكل أخي قوم في الظلم بفل كلام صمد كما أول نهار بدينا فيه الرب خطر موت المشتقة معبن عليه لبسوا لنا كمامة كل كلاب باش يسكتونا يقتلونا باللحية صدقونا نكحناهم حتى الموت صوتنا يزيد يعلى كل ما صدق معنا خطر نحفاد الفلقة ما نخافوا من الموت تحب تحس الأي بيحوس تفهم شي ما تفهم صبورك أحلى ظلام يا جواسيس من غير أفلام لغة السلام مسحوا بها ترمكم تحكي بالعربية نعم أنا فهمتكم تفهمكم تويتش لي من أعلى قمة في بالك باش نبيع بلادي كي تلقالي خدمة كل قطرة حبار نكتب بها عالورق أشهد أني من الكلب قلت كان كلمة الحق نكلاش والكونكورونس خلينا هالكم بيكم حتى كانت سبونا راسي ما على بالنا بيكم سألونا علاش موسيقتكم ديما مكرصة علاش تخمين على الوضع ديما مش عاجبكم شي قلنا لهم خاطر السياسة راهي مسخة والدين أعلى وسمة يا تجر من كل شي حتى لاخر نفس القوم في الظالم الإلهام يشيبوا الكاف في الظلام العارم سلام كي تقولها حرام كي تقولها حلال الحمام خرج مرجع كله يبقى كلام
سلام من شمال افريقيا من جذور البربرية العربية التحية سلام من الجبال الأطلسية إلى الأحواض المنجمية نفتك الحرية سلام من افريقيا لارض الشام ما دام الموضوع هام نقاط استفهام كسهام بايبلاين يستخرج في الالهام من صحرة الانقسام الدولار الشراء وباع الانقسام عد كلام مش صواريخ قسام في المخ يتحارب للهزام فرق كبير بين العالم والعزام بين الشعوب والحكام البلينكين والالتزام في زمان الثورات المغشوشة سخسيهم في بوشوشة حاكم باسم الدين رد الكلوب كيف الكوشة بدل الالوان زيت زين بالفوشة اكس الدس من مخيم الشوشة يقعد كلام لمولوتوف لقى جوشة حال القارح اللي حندر في الحنوشة فكيف تحكي النفوس كي صنعت ورقة وعبدوها كلمة جوس الفلوس في الراس تاكل كيما سوس ليفل اب يور سيلف ديما تالف حلف الحوم ضد الطيار في والد استعباد والد انتحار الافكار شكون اللي فد وشكون اللي صح سطار حل الستار الشعب العربي في سبيطار سيستمنا فاخي نخ استنسخ فقر المخ نار وقادة تحرك في الاعصاب والحطاب قال لك مخيمة وما فماش اصحاب تيخد حريتك واحضر العقاب في قانون غاب يموت الصيد باش تعيش الكلاب
سلام من شمال افريقيا من جذور البربرية العربية التحية سلام من الجبال الأطلسية إلى الأحواض المنجمية نفتك الحرية سلام من شمال افريقيا من جذور البربرية العربية التحية سلام من الجبال الأطلسية إلى الأحواض المنجمية نفتك الحرية
لو تعلمين بما أجن من الهوى لعذرت أو لظلمت إن لم تعذري لا تحسبي أني هجرتك طائعا حدث لعمرك رائع أن تهجري ما أنت والوعد الذي تعدينني إلا كبرق سحابة لم تمطري
جنبي مكتوب عليها انتبه شهيد افشخ من فوقي سطحها مصفون بنص الشارع السيارة المرمية وراي سودة بتذكرها زرعة معقول في مايكروويف يزعها ولا تزال السردة ولا أزال أنا معها وقفت على رجلي حاسس بخفة بالجسد شايف أشلاقي قدامي تريني غادرت الجسد وليكن جاري جنبي رايح بالنص كل شقفة منه بمكان من الشارع المشقوق بالنص وجنبه ماتي ساكتة لسه ما لحقتني عم بتنازع قعدتونا طرت يلحقوني بقية سكان الشارع
ليالي الشام ما بتنام بوم بوم بام بوم بوم بام ليالي الشام بالشام حي كان بالشام في حي بنفس اللحظة اللي أنا كنت فيها حي كائن بالشام بليلة بلا ضو غير ضو خافت من الشارع اللي في ناس من الشارع خافت جورة واسعة عم شوفها بس مستغرب كيف ما عم شوف باقي جسمي بلاقي بجسمي الهزاز فايت آخر شي بتذكر لما كنت رايح حد كان مشان جيب دخان شوي خبز بايت موضوع غريب وأنا متسائل في جنبي وحدة ساكتة كانت ساكنة جنبي ناديتها وما عم تسمع طلعت إدنا سالتة قلت بركي ساردة طلعت أنا سارد إني عايش بعد دقايق شفت ناس وكتير ناس عم تحمل ناس واللي حاملني خمسة واحد شايل كيس شفاف بقلبه قل شتان ما بين الواقع واللي شايف قدام الأشخاص أشلاء وغميت ولهلأ على أساس أنا بكومة فايت طلعت طالع من ناس متجمعة بكومة ناس ولا تزال السردة ولا أزال أنا معها
unmistakable voice of Camelia Zubran and a song called Bahab al Bahar. Before that, it was Litlate with Hiba and a song called Boov that was taken from the Khat Thalith newly released CD. The track before it was from that same CD as well. It was by Biserta Armanda or Armanda Biserta. The song was called Peace in Arabic Salam, again from the Khat Thalith CD compilation. And we began the set with Michel Sajrawi and a song called Yaleel that's taken from his album Arabpop. So that, ladies and gentlemen, set began the second hour of the Arabology show today, coming to you from KZSU Stanford 94.1 FM. I'm your DJ Ramsey, and every week on Thursday between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m., I invite you on a journey through the Arabic-speaking world, through the Arab world, and through a region that is so characterized with chaos and political revolts that one forgets the amount of creative talent coming out of the area that's exemplified by the amazing music and artists coming in from that region of the world. It is those artists that we like to promote and play right here on the Arabology Show every Thursday, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Case in point, Rim Banna, who's made quite a bit of, who's received quite a bit of critical acclaim, recently released an album. And from that album, which was titled Revelation of Ecstasy and Rebellion, the first track is always, always mesmerizing. I never get sick of this song. It's called The Absent One. It's from Rim Banna, and that's next right here on the Arabology Show. Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen.
أحسن يعيش بلادي. من لا تنفعل
That was the one and only Ibrahim Maalouf, beautiful instrumental there called Doubts 2. And it's taken from his new CD. It's called Wind. So if you like that, check out Ibrahim Maalouf's music. It really is soothing and beautiful and sort of fuses Eastern and Western genres together in what is undoubtedly one of the prettiest melodies and instrumentals that one can ever hear. Ladies and gentlemen, we have about 20 minutes left here before we go to DJ Emma and her weekly show, Sunflower Sutra. That show will be coming to you at 5 p.m. right here this Thursday and every Thursday on KZSU Stanford. But we've still got about 20 minutes of beautiful music ahead. And what better way to kick off this set than with the one and only Fairuz? If you haven't heard about Fairuz, you really should. Known by only one name, she's been singing for decades. She's known as the Grande Dame of the Middle East. She's the reigning queen, and although she's around, well, I would say 80 years old, she's still performing and still embodies a spirit of hope and a peaceful tomorrow for everyone in the region. So let's kick back, listen to Fairuz with El Bint El Shalabiya, and that will kick off the last 20 minutes left right here on KZSU Stanford 94.1 FM.
حد العناصر محبوبين اخواتي بحبها حبيبة امها يا اخواتي بحبها يا اخواتي يا اخواتي يا اخواتي يا اخواتي يا اخواتي بحبها دي حبيبة امها يا اخواتي بحبها يا حبيبة
That was Ara Taksim from the ensemble Maragi, and that's taken from their album Anwar. Before that, it was an artist whose name is Rima Khshesh, and a song called Habibat Ummaha. That actually, that song was made popular by a very, very, very old singer. Her name was, or is, Sabah, and this album by Rima Khshesh is a tribute to Sabah, who is, I think, around 100 years old this year. So happy birthday to her. And we began the set with the one and only Fairuz and the track El Bint Shalabiya, and that was taken from her album A Fi Amal. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the goings on around the campus is a beautiful series of events going on here at Stanford. And the week actually begins on Monday, May 13th, with yours truly talking about music and video clips, alternative music, that is, from the Arab world. A week of music, culture, and languages of the Middle East. An amazing week bringing in scholars from all over the spectrum and centering on a better relation between Israel, the Arab world, and the USA. A feat that is accomplished by the Stanford Israel Alliance. And many thanks for sponsoring this event, as well as the Tobe Center for Jewish Studies, the Jewish Student Association, Hillel at Stanford, Stanford University Iranian Studies, Abbasi Program in Islamic Studies, the Stanford Language Center, JIMENA, that stands for Jews Indigenous to the Middle East and North Africa, and Music at Stanford, all of them getting together for this week-long event called Yani, starting Monday, May 13th, and ending with the Mizrahi Shabbat at Hillel, services and program and dinner on Friday, May 17th at 6 p.m. That will be at Hillel at Stanford. For more information, ladies and gentlemen, feel free to check out the calendar of events right here at Stanford. And hopefully Stanford students will be attending these events and listening to some of the amazing collaborations going on in the area. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got about 5 minutes left right here on the Arabology Show with yours truly, DJ Ramsey. It's been my delight and my joy and my honor to be with you for yet another week of Arabology right here on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. If anybody has any suggestions, if you like some of the music I'm playing, or even if you don't, feel free to check out the show's Facebook page at facebook.com/Arabology. I'm always happy to read comments and see what kind of music is getting through to people and what music is not. So either way, ladies and gentlemen, feel free to write, to contact me. This is DJ Ramsey. The show is Arabology. I will say thank you to you in most of the languages that I know. I'll begin with Hebrew, Toda, Arabic, Shukran, French, Merci, Italian, Grazie, and I guess the universal thank you for joining me on this very special episode of Arabology. My thanks also to dancer, Egyptian dancer Hala Fawzi, for being my guest during the first part of the show. I hope everybody out there is safe and not too hot on this very hot week here at Stanford. It's been my pleasure. I'll see you next week on another edition of Arabology from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. DJ Ramsey signing off and saying take care. I'm going to go out with a bang. That means I'm playing the Egyptian Project, ladies and gentlemen. The song Enta Ana will take us up to 5 p.m. time for DJ Emma and Sunflower Sutra. We'll be right back.
المكتوب دم عليك يا زمان ودى على المكتوب عشر سنين مبتلي سبع سنين أيوب وبعدي مرسال لحبيبي حبيبي 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 بدمع العيد مكتوب المكتوب لا 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 جاني حبيبي ولا رد على المكتوب